All right. So mine is not going to be as technical or smart sounding or facts or anything cool like that. So bear with me here. It's a long day. So today I'm going to present about establishing a monitoring evaluation plan for a grassroots organization I worked with in Western Kenya. Actually, to be quite correct, that's not what I did. What I actually did was I established something. I'm not quite really sure what I did, and I'm not even sure if I did it right. And that's the essence of this whole presentation. So bear with me here. All right, so I have no relationship to disclose, I believe. So welcome. This is Wamwini, Kenya, where I spent about 2 months in the summer of 2012. It's about 7 hours west of Nairobi on the bus. It's a very, very lovely place. About 10,000 residents in total, very, very small. There's no actual accurate data or the map of this community. If you try to Google map it, you will find just unable to zoom in any further. So it's not a really a very high-tech place, not of aid in there. There's no accessible health facility where I was. In communities like this, there are usually high rates of diseases, unemployment, and primary school dropout rate was really, really high. So a couple of BU students actually started this organization called Ambassadors for Sustained Health, short for ASH. So BU students, about five of them, started with a donated land on Waimuini. They started a community health center, and they had a health dispensary, a basic lab, a early child development class, a vocational class, and a village banking group. Their idea, this was their community center, and their idea was they believed for sustainable change, it had to be run by the people there for the people. They have a very interesting approach. This is their holistic approach. They believe that a community is like a basket, like a bucket. So if you're like a bucket and if you have holes in the bucket, it's not going to work. And you can't only fix one hole because you're still going to keep leaking. So in order for it to be effective, they believe that you have to have one community and fix all the holes, mend them all, and so the community would be healed again. So they identified about five main areas where they thought was the challenges. They said health, economic opportunities, and education, clean housing, and water. So currently they have about three programs that are running right now because lack of, you know, funding and such. But this is the current three programs they have. The first is the health dispensary. Before the community center, there was actually no actual accessible health center near their neighborhood. So the closest one is about 2 hours away by just walking area. So someone who had an emergency case, this is not something really approachable. They didn't really have paved roads, so it's something that they can't really reach. So emergency cases, maternal child health needs, vaccinations were something that they were able to receive after this community center opened. A vocational class was something they started also. This was primarily for young women and young mothers. They taught sewing and tailoring classes, so more marketable skills that they can learn in order to make small wages for their families. It wasn't something, it was something that they learned so they can hopefully buy a small sewing machine and maybe make dresses and uniforms, which is common in Kenyan country. And the another thing that they also had was a village banking program. This was also for the vocational women. Once a month, they had bank official members who came in and taught financial management classes, basic money management class, entrepreneurial skills. So basic finance lessons that could actually be attainable for these women to understand savings, understand how to make right purchases and different investments. And in Kenya, children have to they have to take entrance exams for primary schools. So they take an exam when they're about 5, 6, 7, and 8 in order to enroll in primary school. So it's really important, especially in areas like this where education is not the first thing that comes to your mind with so many lacking skills. So we had lessons where we would take practice exams for these kids, and they can practice the entrance exams. We'll help them either fund some of their enrollment exam fees, because it does cost a lot of money to go to primary school, although the tuition may be free. So that was one of the programs we also had. So with all this in mind, what I actually did is I was supposed to establish a monitoring evaluation plan for all their program activities. And this involved three main activities, which is devise a logic model for each program, identify the indicators for these programs, and create a data collection instrument that could be useful. So one of these deliverable logic model, this is for our health dispensary. The text is not so important, so as it is important, but I'm not going to read everything to you. So one of the main things I thought was really interesting was Kenyan staff, it was really important for them to understand if their patients were satisfied. That was something that I didn't see coming. I thought, you know, cases, I don't know, how many patients treated, how many patients vaccinated was more important, and that's what I was learned and that's what I was thought. For them, it was really important to know how they thought of them, how they viewed us, how they viewed our clinic. So a lot of these different things that I didn't think was important really came out when I had these stakeholder interviews and met with them and spoke to their key staff members. This was their village banking program for Logic Model. For them, it was really interesting. Our main basis is to see if they can make any profit from these small investments that they were getting loans of. So we wanted to look at if they're making any profits, maybe if they're getting some, what kind of investments are they making? Are they from health? Are they for education? So this was something that we also looked at that was also important. And this is also our vocational program, Logic Model. I'm not going to go in detail and bore you. This is for our data collection instrument. So you have to understand, in this very rural area, there was only one laptop that has been donated to this community center. So a lot of the Google data or Excel data was not something that I can train the staff to do because there was one laptop that was usable. So everything that I created had to be somewhat transferable into a paper format. So if you see on the right side, that's actually the sheet that I created that was most resemblance of my Excel spreadsheet on my computer. So that was something I didn't think I was going to have to face, but those small things that you have to think of, you know, in our classes we learn what's most important to measure, but are they actually measurable and are they collectible? That's something that I didn't really realize until I had to be down there. For, like I said, for the health dispensary, for them it was really important to know how satisfied they were, which was for the follow-up survey. Same thing with vaccination records. We did mobile clinics. We wanted to measure how much are we reaching out. And payment logs, that was for patients who are not paying money or to understand their history. This was some of the things that they identified to me was what they needed and one of the deliverables that I was able to create. This is also for our vocational program. So some of the experiences I have beyond the classroom, although I know logic models and indicators are probably the most pivotal things in global public health, there are definitely certain things that I learned that you can really only attain from fieldwork. And I'm sure these students can attest to all of these. One of the main things I learned from about myself and just outside of classroom was I had a lot of confusion and a lot of doubt and a lot of anxiety. I was always, always, always asking myself, like, what am I doing? Like, seriously, what am I doing? I had no idea. It was so confusing to me. And even more importantly, I didn't even know if I was doing these right. There was no one to tell me if they were right or wrong. So it was really hard. And I was working with Kenyan staff who didn't have a public health background or an MPH. I didn't have anyone to reach out to. And a lot of times, this is where we're always facing. We're always constantly asking ourselves, am I doing it right? Another thing that I really learned was the cultural clash. I think us all having an international practica, we all can attest to how much culture plays into our global health work. Kenya is a very collectivistic and communistic culture, and America, on the other hand, is more individualistic culture. So understanding the boundaries and really understanding the political and cultural aspects of how global health work can actually affect in terms of culture. The third one was navigating the NGO world. I thought this was very, very, very interesting. The NGO world is a very different world, I realize. It's always restricted with lack of resources. It's always restricted with lack of structure or even organizational information or system. For us, it was a very small volunteer-run NGO. So for me, I had to understand and accept that I wasn't going to have another $1,000 to buy a new laptop, or I wasn't going to have accessible printer where I can just print whatever I wanted. So these are all these factors I didn't ever really think going into this practicum that really played a huge part of really the successfulness of this practicum. And the last one is I always question this in the name of good work. So ASH started with three students who had no public health or global health background who just had a passion to really help. And my question was always, how helpful are we actually doing? I know we want to help, but are we really helping? Do we have evidence to say we're helping? And that was something that we take to heart, and we have a lot of pride and, you know, confidence that we're doing good deed, but I wanted to know if this was actually worth their time and our time. So I thought there are five main things I learned, life lessons more so. I don't know if I actually know all of these, but I thought of five. First one is believe in the process, not the results. It was really hard for me to accept there were no vivid results. When I was there, I thought I was going to get like a plaque when I was done, and they're going to be like, well done, you'd made this crate 10 things, you get an award. No, I had no idea what I was doing, but you just have to believe in the process. It's not about the results. And for me, I chose to believe that I was just part of the building blocks of making something better. I might not be the actual result itself, and I was hoping for a direct, immediate result, but I realized that's not something that I can actually achieve then and there, and I just have to believe that I'm part of the process. And of course, like Jason said, patience, serious patience. Second of all, I thought there was no right or wrongs. I didn't have all the answers to the question. Actually, I didn't really know what was, you know, I didn't know if this was right or wrong. And a lot of times, I just had to sit down and listen. That was the only thing I could do. I didn't have internet most of the time because it was rainy season. So all I did was I spoke to a lot of the Kenyan staff. I reached out to my colleagues, my professors, my friends, anyone that I could reach out to in any avenue. And that was the only way I knew that was the right way to go. So a lot of times you don't know everything, and I clearly don't know everything, and that's the best way I thought was the best way to go. Third was the importance of attitude and mindset. So for me, I think I have this, when I go into public health work, I felt like I knew, because I was an MPH student from Boston University, I knew. But it was so important for me to understand that I was there as a facilitator, not as an expert. I'm there to learn, I'm there to help people understand their problems, not for me to solve them myself. So that was something that was really hard for me to understand when I first got there, because I felt like I should know all the answers. But in fact, I was just there to listen to them and hope that I could help, but that was not my job to fix their problem. Global health is a true partnership, and I think it's so important for us to understand that we're not there to solve their problems. And fourth, stay positive. Even if a Kenyan baby, I don't know if you see the little baby right there, she was so scared of me because I was the only Asian person in the whole community. So she was screaming with her hair. I don't know if you can see her, but stay positive even if the little baby is crying at you and she wants to just want you to go away and never come back again. I learned that you have to really, really stay positive and keep your eye on the bigger picture. There's so many politics, like Daniel said. There's always going to be challenges. There's so many days, like we said, that we won't do anything. We're sitting around waiting for the internet to start up again. And there's just not much movement, and there's a lot of politics involved. But at the end of the day, you have to just keep yourself on the bigger prize. And lastly, live as a learner and not as an expert. I think I really, really learned a lot about myself as an academic and as a public health professional and as a person. I thought I was so well knowledgeable when I went in, but I realized that I knew even less when I came back, and I was even more confused. I remember sitting in professors and offices just saying to myself, like, I don't know. I felt like I didn't do my service well enough, but everyone told me, you know, that's the beauty of global health. You will learn so much more if you have the mindset as a learner and not try to be someone by being an expert, because like it is a partnership. But that's pretty much all I have to say, and thank you.